Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
We chatted quite a bit about the strange season of 1918 in gridiron history, complete with war and disease, taking their toll on the year of football. Now, some good things occurred, though, that season as well, especially at a small school in South Bend, Indiana, where a very innovative coach took the helm and would make quite an impact on college football. We talk about this and more coming up in a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And the portal today is going to take us back to that year of 1918. And this is Football History Rewind, part number 39. And we're going to continue on here in the 1918 season because it was notable for very many reasons, as discussed in part 38 of the series. A nation and its young men of football age preparing for war was the major football news from 1918. Season, but there were other such items as controversial losses of powerful squads such as Pitt and Navy were also of note. And don't forget, we also had that Spanish flu pandemic that was going around and ended so many games and so many lives during that very critical and scary time in American history. Now, 1918, though, had another storyline in the development of football as a great sport, and that we will discuss the focus of this edition on in a Football History Rewind talk. Now, it would be a grave error if it is not noted that Newt Rockne took over as the Notre Dame head coach during the 1918 season. Basically, the dawn of a new era. Rockne and his Fighting Irish would soon become the face of football to the nation for a wide array of reasons, which we're going to go over. The first thing was their schedule. But just like today, the Notre Dame plays against the top teams from around the country, and that included both coasts, because they played pretty much as an independent then and now. So they schedule a lot of games out of, don't belong to a conference, play a lot of games for, you know, whoever they can get on their schedule, and usually some top name teams of note. You know, we see what they have done lately, and it's sort of the iron sharpens iron theory of playing football. This came from the ideas of Newt Rockne. Now, a second reason was that Notre Dame's fight song was played after the Irish scored, and this happened often enough to make the song a very popular around the country. The song provided identity for the Notre Dame program, and a catchy tune turned a lot of folks around the nation who'd not even know where South Bend, Indiana was to root for the Fighting Irish, and thus their fan base spanned into every nook and cranny of the nation, much like it does today. But that's where the start was early in the 20th century there. Now, a third reason for the popularity of Notre Dame in the football world was that Rockne changed the way the game was played. The major part of how he did it was to have different strategic approach to winning. Now, the way to win in that era of football was to score first and hang on to the lead by slowing the game down and playing just some rock-solid defense. Now, Rockne's approach, though, was altogether different, as he played a much more wide-open style of football, which appealed to the fans. What a great time to watch football when you have some offensive explosion. We see how that goes today in the NFL, how they've geared the rules to be more offensive and more restrictions on the defense. Well, Notre Dame almost always scored in double figures on each game, and they sold out every stadium no matter where they were playing. So you definitely put fans in the seats. The football was becoming big business, and schools started to erect mammoth stadiums to accommodate the throngs of people who are now being attracted to watch football. Watching the games live was the only option for a fan to view a game back then, because Like, they didn't have television, and you know, radio was at its infancy and not really putting big games on for a few more years. Now, the final reason was that Newt Rockne brought emotion and psychology to the game. He studied his players, and he knew what motivated each of them. His rousing pregame and halftime speeches provided tremendous emotional lifts to his squad, and their response to his talks proved a very formidable weapon. Newt Rockne was described by many as a warm and genuine person, but the reader should not be fooled by this description. He was also an avid disciplinarian, and he inspired even the most average of players to give their best, time in and time out. Rockne was very much against dirty play in football, and according to Tom Perrin in his book, Football, A College History, Rockne, in one conversation with his players, told them, and I quote, "Dirty play is only an honest admission that your opponent is better than you," unquote. Think about that for a second. Dirty play is only an honest admission that your opponent is better than you. Pretty wise words there from Newt Rockne. His rousing speeches were not just received for the game day. Newt was known as to orate at his practice, and his, quote, "everybody up," unquote, call every day at 3:45 p.m. was the official start of practice. His speaking gems on a group level as well as individual basis touched and inspired his players at practice, and by the time the game day came around, they felt invincible. Rockne was becoming the poster boy for achieving unrealistic dreams. He rose from the humble and poor beginnings as a child to live the American dream of fame and success, and he did it with grace, charity, and a lot of sacrifice. One of the most motivating slogans was, quote, "work, work hard, prepare yourself, then go," unquote. Pretty inspiring just hearing said right now. Now, he also spawned many great coaches throughout the land who either played or coached under his system at Notre Dame. It was a great honor to him in 1969, almost four decades after his death, that he was voted the number one coach in the first 100 years of football. Now, Rockne is probably the best recognized for his motivating speech portrayed in the 1940 classic film, Newt Rockne, All-American, where the legendary coach inspired his players to play hard for an ailing member of the Notre Dame football lore, George the Gipper Gip. He played by the future U.S. President, Ronald Reagan, by the way, in that 1940 film. Now, Newt's speech carried the catchphrase, "Win one for the Gipper," of which Reagan used as a campaign slogan in later years for his political campaigns in the 1980s. Now, as a bit of football trivia, this movie, along with Rudy, were the only flicks to be filmed on the actual Notre Dame campus. And like the title of that film said, Newt Rockne, All-American. Truly an All-American boy, and he died at such a young age in a tragic plane crash that sort of stole away. Nobody knows what he could have done for football beyond that. But what an inspiration and a legend, and you know, just an icon of football, even to this day, some almost 100 years after his death and after he started playing and after he started coaching football. Also a tremendous player. He played in some early professional games prior to the NFL coming in. We can see him around the mystical Ohio League playing in a few games there. But Newt Rockne, an interesting character, and voted the top coach in the first 100 years of football. And gosh, you know what? He might win it today in the first 150, 160 years of football as well. He's just that good and that much of a legend. And everybody still knows his name. Tremendous. So we hope you enjoyed this little bit of football history here on a Football History Rewind part number 39. When we come back with part number 40 next week, we are going to go into the year of 1919, and things really started to shake up and happen that turned football into the game we know today. Hope you enjoyed this history. We talk about football history each and every day here on pigskindispatch.com. Please join us each and every day. And if not, you know, maybe sign up for our email subscription newsletter. It's free, and we'll place it in your email inbox each and every day, 6:30 a.m. Eastern, and you'll see some great things from Pigskin Dispatch, Jersey Dispatch, and the Sports History Network, as well as some of our great podcasts on sports history. A lot of it's football history, and I think you'll enjoy it. You can look at the show notes of this podcast or go to pigskindispatch.com and sign up for email from us. And till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.